The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the earth.
Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host... Normal's outreach coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Wednesday, January 25th, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome home to the Normal Network. We're glad that you are here, and we are also welcoming in our studios today on camera two, Wiz Calico is in the house. How you doing, Wiz?
Hey, aloha. I gotta say, I could be better if my car was running, but hey, I'm here, so I'm pretty
all
good.
Right. We're hoping for a better car situation for Wiz Calico. Also joining us from the virtual studio in beautiful Grastoria, Oregon, the lovely and talented senior news editor, Cannabis Carrie.
Hello, guys.
Hello.
I too often am plagued with the car demons.
Yes, yes, and we hope that those are healing nicely.
White people problems.
Exactly. Hey, Carrie, it takes care of our hemp headlines right mm-hmm. after this first break. So, what do we got in the news today?
Today we're going to talk about, I think this is going to probably crop up more and more, but we're going to talk about a smoking ban in Michigan. I mean, what are they talking about when they say smoking anymore? Also, we're going to go to a city in the Southwest who is going to have to cough up some money to replace some cannabis plants. We're also going to talk about a state marshal who is in a little hot water over some marijuana charges. And today, unfortunately, we're going to cover some Denver raids first up on the hemp headlines coming up right after the break.
Yeah, that's sad news. But let's turn also in studio today. We've got Ganja John hanging out on the end table there. How you doing, John?
What up, Russ? How you doing, buddy?
Repping the Ducks, I see.
Always, always. Had a big day today. Having a great day.
All right.
Excited.
Well, cool. We'll talk about that in hour two in our Toker Talk Radio, where we take your calls at 971-533-7111. We hang out, me and Calico and John, and we just kind of talk about some of the stuff of the day. In hour two, I'm going to be talking about Brad Pitt. There's some Brad Pitt news I got to talk
Ooh.
About.
Good looking stunner.
Yeah, yeah. We'll talk about that and some other stuff and of course, your calls. But after the news, we got our 20 after break. It's Irie Wednesday today, so NorCal Perps will be calling us up from the Bay Area with some new music from J-Boog, I believe, that we're playing tonight. Also, we've got at half past, it's Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, the noted marijuana researcher, will be on the phone talking to us live, taking your live questions and through chat or through the telephone. And we will get all sorts of great information from him. A couple new studies, one on colon cancer, another one on pregnancy that we got to bring to you in Cannabis Science. And then at the end of the day, we've got time for a radical rant. I got to talk about the latest appearance. Stevie D'Angelo was on CNN the other day. Latest appearance by Stevie D'Angelo and his opinions of recreational marijuana use. So this will be a good one. Make sure you stay tuned. It's Normal Show Live. We're back right after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Weedmaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. In my job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month. And when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to Weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weed Maps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. WeedMaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. WeedMaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit WeedMaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network.
That's the Dirt Ball from Suburban Noise Records, Cottonmouth Kings. This is Normal Show Live. Keep it right here. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Radical Russ. One of the best things about marijuana is the wonderful aroma. But when you travel a lot like I do, that aroma becomes a suspicious smell. That's why I endorse stealth-products.com, the leaders in smell-proof containers. From smell-proof vacuum bags to smell-proof backpacks and duffel bags, all the way to smell-proof digital safes, stealth-products.com has you covered. Stealth-products.com brings you safe, secure, odorless layers of protection with activated carbon fiber. Backpacks and duffel bags are simple black so as not to attract attention with a logo or flashy design. Now, nothing is perfectly odor-controlled from the detection of drug dogs, but with proper vigilance, containers from stealth-products.com will help you avoid nosy humans.
You're now listening to Elliot Beats.
Stealth-products.com. Stealth-products.com.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
This morning was a busy one for the officers involved in a paramilitary-like raid of dozens of homes across Denver this morning. Denver Metro Police, along with agents from outside agencies, indicted 16 people this morning, according to the Adams County District Attorney's Office. Those suspects, whose names have not been released yet, are facing charges of racketeering, marijuana distribution, and money laundering. According to police in a statement today, the raids were a part of an ongoing investigation into homes in Adams and Weld counties, Broomfield, Denver, Erie, and Breckenridge, Colorado. They are saying marijuana grown in Colorado was being shipped out of state, sometimes using the U.S. mail. Police said that these raids have no links to the state's medical marijuana system. But an attorney that may be involved in the case, Sean McAllister, disputed those statements, saying that some of those arrested may be medical marijuana caregivers. McAllister said that a continuing confusion about the caregiver requirements in the state leaves providers vulnerable to police raids. Multiple agencies coordinated the raids today, including DEA agents and agents from the Internal Revenue Service, several local police agencies, and the North Metro Drug Task Force. Adams County District Attorney Don Quick said that they served 25 houses with warrants as part of this morning's activities and dubbed, sorry about this, Aussie, Operation Sweetleaf. They said that they seized about 1,000 cannabis plants spread out over more than a dozen of those homes that were raided. Summit County Sheriff John Miner, whose agency worked on the raids, said that today hopefully served a lesson to others that non-medical marijuana cultivation is still a crime and will not be tolerated. Those raids were conducted at 6 a.m. this morning.
Always bad news when we have to hear of DEA raids, our federal tax dollars being used to persecute and prosecute people over a plant. And, you know, the phrasing of that, that non-medical plants, you know, non-medical cultivation won't be tolerated. Well, when you're looking at that marijuana plant, how do you know that it's non-medical cultivation? I mean, you can know whether or not somebody was, you know, compliant with this or that regulation. But you don't know that that plant being grown there, illegally or not, wasn't being used by somebody who was using it for medical purposes, who maybe couldn't jump through the hoops of paying registration fees or seeing a doctor to get medical records, but still needed that medicine nonetheless. You don't know, looking at that plant, that the person that might use that plant wouldn't be using it for medicinal purposes. These raids need to stop, and they're only going to stop when we finally get the federal government out of the business of trying to police what we put in our own bodies. This is a fight for freedom, and legalization is for all people. It's very important that in 2012 we get behind the measures to legalize marijuana in any form, in at any level. We have got to finally make that step where marijuana use, for whatever reason, is not considered a crime And then we can start working on this issue from an equal playing field, not as second-class citizens, not as criminals, on an equal playing field. Let's get behind legalization in 2012.
And I wish this next story was about our friend Jay, but it is about one lucky, or at least luckier, medical marijuana patient from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Tony Armijo is getting some compensation from the Albuquerque, New Mexico Police Department for her destroyed cannabis plants. She did, however, have to wait quite a while for this payday. In August of 2010, a neighbor of Ms. Armijo's called the police concerned that she was suicidal. When the police came to do a wellness check on her, she was gone, but they entered her home and found her marijuana plants just sprouting beneath a grow light. The officers pulled all the plants from their pots and held them as evidence. Now, by the time Armijo came home back to her house, she was able to convince the police that she was a licensed grower for her own medical marijuana. But her entire crop, now stuffed into a paper bag, was ruined. Officials in Albuquerque will have to pay Ms. Armijo $3,100 for her loss.
$3,100. Did they mention how many plants were involved there, Carrie?
It was less than 15.
Less than 15. So even, you know, even if it was 15, we're talking $200 a plant, something like that. But that doesn't account for the fact that these are hard to come by. And there also could be genetics that maybe you can't find a specific version of the plant, a specific strain that works for her particular condition. It's not like she can just go out to the Home Depot or the garden center and pick up another exact clone of what she's needing to get for her medical use here. These states that have medical use laws, at least one step that could be taken forward here is to ensure that any plant seized in an investigation would have to be cared for, would actually have to be taken care of. It's not like, you know, when they seize your pets or your children, they can just put them in a box or a closet somewhere until the trial date. We need to ensure that this people's living plants are cared for so that if indeed they are innocent until proven guilty and turn out to be innocent after the trial, or no charges are filed, that they don't suffer the difficulty of trying to put their crop back together again.
And the Southgate Michigan City Council unanimously clarified their smoking ban rules last night when it comes to city parks. The city has recently added some designated smoking areas to some parks, but apparently some confusion over what people might be smoking needed some clarification. Paul Adams, the director of Parks and Recreation, wants it to be known that designated smoking areas in the park are for tobacco use only and not for medical marijuana consumers. He told the council before the vote, quote, "We want to make it clear that there are to be no intoxicants in the park. You can't use drugs or anything that will change your emotional state while at the park," unquote. The clarification was also suggested from the Southgate Police Department that the city clarify their rules for those using medical marijuana. Adams said that the police told him they had to approach some people smoking marijuana in the park and inform them that medical marijuana was not allowed in city parks. The park has always had a prohibition of consumption of alcohol, narcotics, and drug use at the parks. So I guess it's just a sign of the times as people smoking tobacco keeps decreasing that we all have to clarify what substance we are talking about anymore when we say smoking.
No kidding. Hey, son. My name's a patient. I carry a card. I love the idea that patients in Michigan are smoking weed out in the park and the cops are coming up and then they go, "Ha! See, I got my card. See, I'm legal. Everything's fine here. Step aside, sir. Nothing to see here." Well, that seems to be not the way it's going here. Although the way that they're judging this, I mean, for the park guy to say that there should be no intoxicants in the park, no intoxicants, okay, or anything that would change your emotional state. So bad news to those of you on antidepressants, SSRIs and such, MAO inhibitors. You don't get to go to the park anymore. I'm sorry. We can't have people in the park that are changing their emotional state. Isn't the whole purpose of a park to go somewhere where you can change your emotional state, get out of the house and feel like you're outside breathing fresh air, getting some sunshine? I mean, the lengths to which the people will go here when we're talking about marijuana. I have this line on the signature line of my email that says, the most amazing thing about cannabis is its ability to addle the brains of those who do not use it. And this is a perfect example of that. Look, if there's a place where in the park people are allowed to smoke tobacco, and we know, you know, we have all these rules against the secondhand smoke, but we make an accommodation for them in this place. I don't see why we can't make an accommodation for people that are using cannabis for medical purposes. What, medical marijuana patients shouldn't be allowed to go to a park? It's just, once again, it's the absurdity of having this separate idea that there's medical and there's recreational and we can't have the patients there because then other people might smoke it because they like to, or they might want to change their emotional state. Oh, my God. I would just much rather we had, you know, pot smoking areas in parks than we had alcohol drinking areas in parks. And I see those in lots of parks and people having picnics and having good times. And for the most part, behaving responsibly and acting like adults. That's all we're asking here. Can we just be treated like adults for once in this country?
And a state marshal was pulled over in Norwalk, Virginia yesterday afternoon and arrested for drug charges. 58-year-old Alan Friedman of Norwalk, Virginia was pulled over for running a red light. Even though he flashed his state marshal badge, the police on the scene called his dog to check Friedman's vehicle. The dog hit on the trunk, and that led to a search of Friedman's car. A search of the 58-year-old state marshal's car turned up two bags of marijuana and an additional small plastic container also containing marijuana. Had some digital scales, 9 different pipes with marijuana residue on them, an assortment of empty plastic baggies, and a bag of marijuana seeds. Now, the marijuana weight totaled about 138 grams, or over a quarter of a pound. State marshals can be hired by citizens, courts, attorneys, and the state or others to serve notices of civil court proceedings and to enforce judgment. They are governed by the State Marshal Commission and are not actual state employees, but the administrator for the Commission of State Marshals said today that they will look into the matter before making a statement and that nothing happens within hours.
Marshal, come here. Get up close here. Let me talk to you for a second. My pal Ganja John over here doesn't travel with 9 freaking pipes in the car and scales and baggies and crap. What the hell makes you? Guy thinks he can flash the bat. Do you know who I am? Damn it, do you know who I am?
Yeah, I take my eye. I go, God damn it, officer, don't you know I'm a pot star?
9 pipes. I mean, Wow. Really. The arrogance of the corruption is what gets me in a story like this, that this guy thinks nothing of it, you know, just driving around, while those of us that might have forgotten one roach in an ashtray are risking getting pulled over by this guy and having our lives ruined. It's offensive, man. It's just offensive. Jeez. All right, I've got one story that I have to bring up from our normal blog. You remember that we reported on the YouTube question that's going on right now. President Obama's State of the Union address was last night, and they're having this YouTube forum, Ask Obama, basically what they did before, where they solicit people to turn in their video questions for the president, and they get voted on, and people can decide whether or not they wish to approve that question. Then they show it to the president on a live stream, yada yada, he answers the question. And you'll remember the last time we did this, we got the number one voted question, and it was, well, I say we, I mean reformers, because it was Mackenzie Allen from LEAP, a former law enforcement officer, who asked President Obama, you know, shouldn't we think about legalizing, regulating, and taxing marijuana, basically. And President Obama said it's an entirely legitimate topic for debate. It's a legitimate topic for debate, he said. So last night, around 7 o'clock Pacific, I decided to check up on the YouTube.com/White House page to see how many votes our question had received. Now, the good news was that our question was, with over 850,000 Americans arrested in 2010 for marijuana charges alone and tens of billions of dollars being spent locking up nonviolent marijuana users, isn't it time we regulate and tax marijuana? That was our question, and it had 4,023 votes, which was making it one of the most popular submissions to the forum. Now, that's the good news. The bad news? You can't get that question anymore or any like it. If you go there, and this is when I went there at 7 last night, results out of 615 questions that had the words with over 850,000 Americans arrested in 2010, that search term, this submission has been removed because the people believe it is inappropriate. Yes, the people. Yeah, the people believe, or people believe. We don't even know who these people are, right? Well, I checked out the thumbs down. It had 241 thumbs down. But when I looked at some of the other 615 questions, some of them were still up. They had 28 thumbs down, and Some of them were removed, and they only had three thumbs down. So it's not the votes of the thumbs up, thumbs down. So who are these people, President Obama? They're not the people out here who keep making marijuana legalization the number one topic of these forums every time you ask. They're not the millions whose lives are impacted by a marijuana arrest, the tokers and their families who lose jobs, houses, kids, freedom, asset, respect, and security, and peace of mind because of marijuana prohibition. Sadly, I think it's just one person, a guy who used to do coke and marijuana in Hawaii and is damn lucky today he's not Barry the drug criminal.
Well, Russ, that pissed me off.
Yeah, I thought that might.
Let's take a break, buddy.
I think that's a good idea. We'll be right back with some Irie Wednesday Daily Toker Tunes. Stay tuned.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215. Or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Do you really want to legalize marijuana? Prove it. Join Normal today at NORML.org, and your donation will help us spread the growing truth about cannabis. Free speech ain't free, you know.
Free the ganja tree, it's the healing of the nation. Free the cali weed, good for meditation. Free the pot smokers, they're in a delight. Lighting up the chalice, they will keep no malice.
What's on the healing marijuana?
Come on, come on, come on, say.
Free the marijuana.
Hear me say.
Free the marijuana.
Come on, come on, come on, say.
Free the marijuana.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we get tunes for Irie Wednesday, our celebration of that mellow vibe we find in the best of reggae, ska, calypso, and Latin music. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune.
All right, on Wednesday, we turn things over to our Irie Wednesday music editor, Kyle, a.k.a. NorCal Perps, down there in the Bay Area. How you doing, Kyle?
Not too bad. How you doing today, Russ?
Doing great. Hey, we're going to be driving past you here coming a couple weeks.
Yeah, I know. I wish I could make it down to the Cup with you guys, but I've got a... Let's just say I've got a lot of plants on my hand right now. Can't really leave.
Right, the ficus and the ferns and the, you know, all of those things. Right.
Yeah, those orchids are really, really troublesome.
Right. You can't leave them alone for a moment. I'm glad to hear it, man. Hey, how are things going down there in the Bay Area? Any news that we need to know about?
Nothing too big going on around here. There's just... still fighting in the San Jose area, and they tried doing the same thing with Los Angeles of limiting the collectives in the area, and it was pretty much just a repeat of the Los Angeles area. A few places shut down for a few days, some places permanently closed, some places just relocated, and it's all back up again, just as many as before.
Yeah, that's the way it goes. All right, well, let's get Irie here. You've got some music for us from J-Boog. Tell us all about it.
So born and raised in Southern California, J Boog embraces his Pacific Island roots as well as his R&B influence. In 2006, he moved out to Hawaii to really embrace those influences and released his album Hear Me Roar in 2007. So off of that Hear Me Roar album, here is J Boog with Let's Do It Again.
All right, we'll get that up here in just a second. I did want to mention, though, speaking of Island Roots, we got Wiz Calico in the studio, and he'll be hosting Irie Island Hour later tonight, 8 o'clock Pacific. So tell us what's up.
Oh, it's just going to be a fun time. I mean, we got some more videos on hand. Now that I've been watching Normal Rocks play their videos every week, I've decided that we got to get some reggae artists up there. So if you guys want to see some cool music videos, be sure to be tuning in. We're going to have a few new artists that we found on Bandcamp, but as always, we will be getting quite Irie.
All right. Irie Island Hour tonight at 8 o'clock Pacific live here on the Normal Network. And Kyle, thanks a lot for the tune here. This is J Boog with Let's Do It Again, the remix.
Ooh, friend to ya. Nice to know you. Let's do it again. How we did it on a one night stand. Girl, I wanna be more than a friend to ya. It was like food for all of my senses. Our time priceless, no expenses. Like water to all them dry trenches. She had a theme song for her every entrance. We had a dinner and a movie. Fire up the doobie. Great vibes. This girl school closer to me. I call her baby. She call me Boogie. Her beauty intelligence really moves me. Nice to know ya. Let's do it again. How we did it on a one night stand. Girl, I wanna be more than a friend to ya. Nice to know ya. Let's do it again. How we did it on a one night stand. Girl, I wanna be more than a friend to ya. This isn't my first rendezvous in a relationship. Well, round and graduated with love certificates. Hey, she want a lover I'll be. Stimulate the body and mentally. Hey, don't bust me straight up in a liar. You got me surely if you want to cry, yeah. My love is real, not like them other guys. There's a people who sign up cause me, I win first prize. Nice to know ya, let's do it again. How we did it on a one night stand. Girl, I wanna be more than a friend to ya. Nice to know ya, let's do it again. How we did it on a one night stand. Girl, I wanna be more than a friend to ya. She looking pretty real nice. Lightly room up, she have the perfect body type. Being with you is like being in paradise. Never seen a girl that can live up to the hype. Ay. She is a white, I'm a Fiji, Mali, Tahiti, Mozanga. Big up to the Caribbean, girl, I keep it proper. All of me Latinos and all of me sexy mamas. Broken Corleone, giving you a holler. Nice to know ya, let's do it again. How we did it on a one night stand. Girl, I wanna be more than a friend to ya. Nice to know ya, let's do it again. How we did it on a one night stand. Girl, I wanna be more than a friend to ya. Nice to know ya, let's do it again. How we did it on a one night stand. Girl, I wanna be more than a friend to ya. Nice to know ya, let's do it again. How we did it on a one night stand. Girl, I wanna be more than a friend to ya.
As High Times Senior Cultivation Editor, I'm often called into the field and asked to sample or even identify exotic strains of marijuana in their natural habitat. Now, for the first time, I've compiled more than 120 of my favorite strains into this single field guide designed to fit into your pocket as you travel the world in search of your favorite plant. From a friend's closet grow room to the wilds of Northern California, this single guide covers all of today's best-known strains, plus heirlooms and throwbacks, including High Times quality photos and information on on each variety's genetic heritage and growing characteristics, plus my personal notes on aroma, flavor, and potency. So this is Danny Danko, author of the official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains, wishing you good times and great ganja.
The official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains is available at hightimes.com and finer bookstores.
Pot 2.0. It's not your father's Woodstock weed. Cannabinoids and health.
Cannabinoids.
Why am I having trouble saying that?
Cannabinoids.
Jeez.
Cannabinoids.
Oh, what a gift. Catch Normal News with Cannabis Carry every weekday on Normal Show Live at 7 p.m. Eastern here on the Normal Network. It's time for Normal Show Live's Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York in Albany and the author of Understanding Marijuana. Now, here's your dose of cannabis science.
All right, we go back to the telephone and Dr. Mitch Earlywine, who's waiting there for us. Welcome back, Dr. Mitch.
Good to be back.
Oh, I hope everything's going well. I hope you're not getting snowed in there up in New York.
Cold, but not snowed in.
Oh, good. Good to hear that. Well, there's the chance for everyone here to get their questions in for one of America's leading researchers on marijuana and the people who are using it. And you can send your questions also by email to 420research@gmail.com. But we always open this up by taking a look at some of the new studies that have come out about cannabinoids and cannabis. And there's a couple out there that I saw through email, one on colon cancer, another on pregnancy. I was wondering if you saw those and what you can tell us about them.
I sure did. And this one on cannabidiol and colon cancer is not a huge surprise, but it's a real delight. We've already seen CBD cannabidiol have some great impact on some other cancers, preventing some of the spread of some tumors, decreasing breast cancer in a mice model with mice. And this is a model of colon cancer with mice, also showing incredible promise from cannabidiol, basically decreasing the chances of that cancer metastasizing and just making sure that it's markedly smaller, and seems to be working in multiple pathways. So it's not that it's just sort of one thing about cancer that this is having an impact on, but a much more global impact, which makes me think that CBD is going to be really promising for a whole host of different cancers. I'm sorry this wasn't done in the United States, but I'm delighted to see other countries are funding this kind of work.
And one of the problems that we've had from prohibition is that strain breeders, people that are growing cannabis, have always bred for THC to get people high and kind of neglected CBD. So there's a lot of problems getting those CBD strains, aren't there?
It's sad but true, and I'm grateful to the folks at Project CBD for at least making it well known which strains do have CBD present. But this is yet again how prohibition kind of hurts progress. I think that there'd be a lot more strains with higher percentages of CBD if it weren't left to just the underground market.
Mm, very good. All right. And the other study I saw, something on pregnancy, you know, women who use cannabis during pregnancy and the outcomes for their babies. And of course, this is a topic that up on our blog at stash.normal.org gets one of the ones that gets the most comments. I've seen so many comments from young women, young mothers who are terrified of losing their child from a fetal drug test, an infant drug test, and worried about, you know, the fear that they get from people telling them what terrible things could happen. So what is this study telling us, and what in general should we tell women about cannabis and pregnancy?
It's interesting because I know we were just talking about this a few weeks ago, and I said, the jury's kind of out and it's not clear and things like that. But this is one of the largest and most appropriately done studies of its kind. The effects are statistically significant but not huge, but they do suggest that women who use cannabis during pregnancy are ending up with smaller babies and an increased probability of certain complications, including some that end up requiring the baby go in the NICU, which I think is, you know, a pretty serious outcome. I'm, you know, not going to say, oh, no one should ever smoke cannabis during pregnancy ever, or, you know, you should go to jail or something horrible like that, because I just can't stand the thought of someone who's using cannabis neglecting prenatal care because basically out of fear of some kind of urinary drug test that might get their baby taken away. I mean, that's just completely horrible. Nevertheless, I feel like the data are now stronger to say cannabis is really not appropriate during pregnancy. And by all means, if you know you're having a whole lot of nausea and things like that, let's explore some alternative ways of dealing with it.
That's interesting because it again, you know, you mentioned how the jury's been out, but this is a fairly large study, fairly comprehensive study. I wonder, one thing you mentioned there was it seems like the women that are using cannabis are having babies of lower birth weight. Is that lower birth weight, though, below a level that would be an unhealthy birth weight? Or are they just statistically, you know, smaller babies but still healthy babies? I mean, what does it tell us?
As it turns out, so those APGAR scores, the score they take about the baby's responsiveness and color and things like that at 5 minutes after they come out, those don't seem to be affected. So I'm not going to pretend like this is anywhere near as bad as, say, drinking alcohol during pregnancy. Nevertheless, this proportion of the ones who are smaller does seem to be enough to say, hey, we need to at least do more research on this topic and you know, staying in the side of caution, not saying that it's completely innocuous to use cannabis during pregnancy.
I mean, have babies been growing in average birth weight over the years? I know, you know, us as people, we've been getting larger and taller. I mean, has baby weight gone up over the years and we're just women that are using cannabis are having babies that are at would have been normal weights 30 years ago?
Well, it's interesting because they're basically markedly less likely to have the overweight, huge baby,
okay.
Like 70% less likely. So that, I mean, that is definitely something that's contributing. And the fact that the APGAR scores aren't down is certainly reassuring. Nevertheless, some of this NICU data, about 3% more likely to end up in the NICU and things like that, those are more haunting. So it's just something that we want to keep in mind, that this is a careful and fragile time and something, you know, we just want to take care of.
All right. Well, we're taking your calls for Dr. Mitch Earlywine here at 971-533-7111. If you're listening during the live 7 p.m. Eastern hour, if you're listening on a replay, don't call because we're not here. And you can also get your questions in on our chat room there. Just log on to ustream.tv/thenormalnetwork or just live.normal.org is probably the easiest way to get there. I wanted to get your question, your response on a political topic that we just discussed in the news, and that is the YouTube forum where, once again, Normal put up a question about all the arrests of marijuana users. And it just got removed, deemed inappropriate. And I'm just wondering, Dr. Earlywine, the Obama administration and their seeming reticence to want to address this issue, how does that bode, as far as you're concerned, for the 2012 elections?
This is just so unfortunate to me, and I find myself growing and growing in my disappointment about this, because I would much prefer a dialogue to just having things shut down. This is not an illegitimate question. We're talking about literally hundreds of thousands of arrests every year, billions of dollars in lost revenue, all kinds of police and law enforcement time, clogging our criminal courts. These are serious political issues, certainly as serious as some of the really crazy things that he gets asked all the time about the budget and stuff like that. So I find this just completely flabbergasting. You can see the number of normal affiliated folks who are running to Ron Paul's campaign now. I, you know, for one, really sure like Governor Gary Johnson. I mean, all of a sudden, the folks who are more on our side are seeming much more salient and much more attractive as a result. And I'm genuinely concerned. I feel like Obama needs to address this, or he's really going to lose out.
Well, you know, this is where the campaign finance impacts with this as far as the pharmaceutical companies. I was looking this up for a post today, and the top recipients of Big Pharma's dollars in campaign contributions for 2011 through 2012 campaign cycle, which of course were only, you know, 25 days into 2012, so mostly for 2011, number one recipient is Barack Obama at $103,000. Next up to him, Representative Fred Upton from Michigan, a Republican from Michigan. And the next four in order are all Republicans, Fred Upton, Scott Brown, Orrin Hatch from the House and the Senate, respectively, followed by Mitt Romney at $65,000. So Obama's gotten $25,000 more than anyone else in 2011. How does this impact the research and the policymaking in Washington, D.C., when so much of the money they need in these elections comes from pharmaceutical companies?
What's crazy is, I mean, Obama's war chest is over $240 million now, so, I mean, this may not sound like a lot of money in respect to that, but NIDA and the agencies that could actually be funding this research are still absolutely frightened of it as a result of, his guidance. And so, I have two papers out now on how the vaporizer is really wonderful, but could I get funding from NIDA about that? They laugh right in my face when I call to ask. I mean, it's really just not the kind of approach we need while literally, over 70% of folks are behind medical marijuana now. Most polls are really close to a majority of folks who want legalization. The time has come, and if these guys don't wake up, we're going to vote them out.
Mm. All right. I wanted to go back to what we were talking about at the beginning with the studies. In the study on colon cancer and the CBD effect, and it was a study in rats. One of the things we come up against when we're reading these studies and hearing about them in the news is the difference between in vitro study and in vivo study, this being the difference between in a Petri dish versus, live. And so many of the studies that we hear against marijuana, carcinogenic properties or what have you, seem to come from these in vitro studies, when they directly attack something with a mass amount of THC or something like that. So can you tell us, as far as, the science goes, what the procedure is going from one level to the next, from in the in vitro studies, the in vivo studies, and how much more significant they are when you get to that in vivo level?
I mean, the clincher here is, as you sort of move up the phylogenetic spectrum, you're much more likely to generalize to humans. And these mice cancer studies in a whole bunch of other domains do generalize to humans extremely well. So some of the anti-cancer drugs we have now literally started out on mice, just like this did. I do feel like the problem with those individual cells, these old, white blood cells getting 100 pounds of THC thrown at them and stuff like that, is it just doesn't generalize. And it's not that it's terrible science in the sense of the, things were done wrong. It's that it just does not apply to us. So a lot of the stuff about, THC having an impact on immune function is just completely fallacious. As soon as you study real live humans, even those with HIV, you do not see the effect. So the fact that, 50 pounds of THC hurts the immune function of a little bitty single cell is completely irrelevant. And that's, why I'm much more optimistic and happy that more of this stuff is done. I'm kind of sad we're not seeing more primate work on this, but of course, my friends who are animal rights folks are really down on that. So it's a rough ethical line to walk.
Marijuana, THC, isn't harmful to primates any more than it is humans, is it?
Not at all. In fact, we've got some pretty compelling evidence that the only primates who've been harmed by it were harmed essentially because of the way things were administered was actually depriving them of oxygen. So they had this horrible mask on that was, making them so that all they could get was smoke, and then later on realized, this is ridiculous. So, primates seem to respond well. And then some of the gateway stuff, you try to get a rat to even press a bar to get cannabis, they don't like it. I mean, it's not comfortable being stoned and little and around big animals.
And more paranoid than you already are as a rat.
Exactly.
So Dr. Mitch, it's Ganjajan, you're saying it would probably be okay if I got a great ape as a pet if he took the bong hits himself.
In fact, I think he'd be much more docile and fun, but your food bill's going to definitely go up.
Oh, yeah. I don't care.
I don't want to clean up after an ape, man. That would be bad.
I do.
A little Milo is enough, isn't he? All right. We're talking with Dr. Mitch Earlywine here, and the phone number is 971-533-7111. And if you've got any questions, you can get him in on our chat line right there at live.normal.org. We did have a question come up through chat where someone was asking about the use of cannabis for treatment. treatment of attention deficit disorder. And this comes up many times when we talk about this, and there's usually just not a lot of research on it. But what can we tell our listener?
I just gathered some data on this, and we're having a hell of a time publishing it, which I think is kind of curious. But it does look like that folks do seem to report that after using at least some strains, they do improve their attentional capacities. We haven't had it administered in a lab to folks with ADHD. I have literally dozens of letters from individual cases who claim it's a huge improvement. Pharmacologically, it doesn't work in the same way as these stimulant drugs, and so the negative consequences, at least their potential, is markedly less. So it would be great to see this work, but it does seem to be incredibly strain-dependent. So some of the more sedating strains don't seem to help anywhere near as much, whereas some of the stimulating ones, ironically, actually do help. But it's consistent with some of the models of ADHD that suggest that really the reason people have problem attending is that they're under-aroused. They need a little extra push, and then suddenly the natural amount of arousal in the environment is appropriate for them so they can actually pay attention. They don't have to bounce around to try to get themselves aroused.
That's interesting. All right. Well, thanks for that question, and thank you, Dr. Earlywine, for joining us again. And, folks, if you're just shy and you don't want to get your question seen by others, you can always send an email to 420research@gmail.com, and it might become something we talk about. Of course, anonymously, wouldn't bring up your specific name or anything, but and sometimes becomes the subject of some research. And speaking of that, for the last word, Dr. Mitch, I wanted to give you a chance to let us know of any new books or research papers that you'll have coming out, or anything else you'd like to leave our listeners with?
We're actually struggling to get some of these PTSD data published. It's been rejected by two journals right now, but as soon as that's accepted, I will be everybody will hear the scream of me jumping up and down.
All right. Well, we get so much anecdotal information on PTSD. It seems like a no-brainer, but that stuff's got to get published, and we hope it gets published soon. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Mitch. We'll talk to you next week.
Take care.
All right. We're back right after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
You know why we pirates love the Normal Show? Har, har, because it's always smoking, matey. Har, 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 har.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
Almost busted in Laredo, but for reasons that I'd rather not disclose.
I smoke pot, and I like it a lot. Hi, this is Willie Nelson. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer to use than alcohol. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting responsible marijuana smokers in America. And to learn what you can do to help, please contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll free at 888-67-NORMAL.
The show was long and we were just sitting there, and we'd come to play and not just for the ride.
You want answers?
I was mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical Rant. All right. Well, once again, Discovery Channel Weed Wars star and Harborside CEO Stephen D'Angelo was interviewed on a cable news channel. Now, this time it wasn't MSNBC and it wasn't Fox as he did before. where D'Angelo dismissed recreational marijuana smokers. This time it's CNN. Here's the quote. "As for recreation, I don't believe that very many people really, truly use cannabis for recreation, or anybody, really. What is recreation? Recreation is not something you can smoke, or something you can swallow, or something you can rub on your skin. It's not a commodity. It's an experience." Yeah, I see. So, when I'm loading this bowl and bringing it to my lips and lighting it and inhaling the smoke and experiencing the high that follows, what's that, a commodity? Bill Clinton just called. He wants his dictionary back. By these definitions of recreation, people selling recreational vehicles are really just selling vehicles, a commodity, that don't become RVs until someone drives them and experiences the recreation of camping. What a bunch of malarkey. So, Steve, look, this butt in my hand, right? This butt in my hand is just a commodity that you sold $20 million worth of last year. And when I smoke it just for the hell of it, I'm not using it recreationally, an experience. I'm using it medicinally, which is an experience. When I toke because I'm struggling to write another way to impugn this stupid "there is no recreational use" mantra, I'm using it medically, just like my friend with Crohn's disease who will waste away and die without it. That college kid at the Cypress Hill concert who has a recommendation for insomnia, who's puffing away in the daytime in the medication area, I guess he's using it medically so he can get a good nap in the mosh pit. This dismissal of recreational use is just a continuation of D'Angelo's "all use is wellness" campaign that seeks to fool the federal government into dismissing IRS 280E claims against his business. The only hope he has is that the public perception of Harborside is of one of a completely legit medical cannabis distributor only providing medicine to sick people. If anyone suspects that a reasonably healthy person might be accessing Harborside meds just to enjoy themselves, in other words, recreationally, then selling the "why is Uncle Sam using drug dealer laws against medicine suppliers" argument is a harder sell. And pardon me for saying so, but we lose credibility points for both medical marijuana and legalization every time the skeptical, judgmental public sees the guy in ponytails and his hirsute, tie-dyed, dress-wearing male business partner on TV claiming the obvious recreational pot smoking running in the segment's introduction is wellness. There is medical use of marijuana. Absolutely. The cases are too numerous and obvious for the public to ignore. But there is recreational use of marijuana, also with numerous and obvious examples for the public. The more you try to tell the public to disbelieve their own two eyes and call recreational use medical, the more they think the medical thing is a ruse just to bring about recreational use. In other words, you're not bringing people closer to legalization by conflating recreational use with medical use. You're driving them further away from acceptance of medical use. And for the examples of that, just look at the votes in South Dakota. In 2006, when they tried to pass medical marijuana, it got a 48% vote. In 2010, when they tried to pass medical marijuana, it got a 36% vote with virtually the same initiative. You can look at Oregon in 2004 that tried to pass a dispensary system and then tried to do it again in 2010 and got just about the same vote, 43%, 44%. You can look at the no home grow medical marijuana laws in New Jersey and D.C. and Delaware and Arizona for an example of where medical is heading. You can look at the 2011 CBS News poll where 52% of the people believe medical marijuana is being used for, quote, other purposes. Let's just be honest. We smoke pot and we like it a lot. It's none of the government's business or concern, no matter why we choose to use. We deserve as much respect as beer drinkers and cigarette smokers. All use is none-ya. All right, so I just wanted to get that segment out of the way. That's something I felt pretty strongly. Thank you for joining us on Thank you. A little delayed from the studio audience.
Studio audience is a little too stoned.
We got a little extra time here at the end of the show, and I'm going to turn to the turn to our round table here that we've got. Well, it's not round, but it's oblong.
It's long.
It's a long table with Ganja John and Wiz Khalifa. And I don't know if this is the first you heard those quotes, but I was just wondering your thoughts on them.
Yeah, that isn't the first time I've heard those quotes, but I'd agree with everything you said. I just don't understand why he would continue to come out and say that he doesn't support recreational use and why he's just so in favor of having the semantic argument about whether it's medical marijuana use or personal use or wellness or recreational. Like you said before, all use is none. It's just I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
We're not legalizing the why or the how. We're legalizing the what.
Yeah.
And we're legalizing the weed itself. It's either dangerous or it's not dangerous. If it's not dangerous, then let us have it.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm an acquaintance of Steve's, and I've smoked in situations where it probably wasn't any of my business, but it felt recreational.
Yeah.
I mean, I said the words to him, hey, Steve, you want to get high? And we got high.
Yeah.
There's nothing medicating about it. And he's a hypocrite.
And don't get me wrong. I don't think that Steve thinks that anyone – I think he's for legalization and thinks anybody should be able to get it and not need a doctor and all that. But he's making a semantic argument.
Absolutely.
You know, devil's advocate, you can say, well, all he's trying to do is to change the perception and the conversation of what marijuana is.
Kind of a roundabout way to do it.
Right. I agree with the idea. I think the path is wrong. I think the path now is all use is none. The path now is, look – we've had medical for 15 years. Nothing bad happened.
Yeah.
Just let people have it and let's be done with it. And I think the people are ready to hear that argument.
And my biggest thing with, you know, him being in the position he was, having those cameras follow him around, he was able to show what a well-regulated and well-run, clean dispensary looks like.
Oh, yeah.
And that doesn't have to just, you know, apply to medical marijuana. It can apply to, you know, a completely regulated system for all adult responsible use. So that's what, for me, it's like, he could have very well used Weed Wars as a launching pad to see how safe this is, see how well ran it is. We could very well make this.
This is what legalization could be.
Yes, this is what legalization could be.
Well, this is the problem of being in the compromised position, though, of being under, you know, federal threat, that you have to tailor your argument both, you know, more with an idea of protecting your own hide than what is the right political strategy. Sure. You know, those two things have to be one and the same for you. You have to believe that that's the right political strategy because it's the one that keeps you out of prison. So I understand that, and I don't disagree with the notions of that, you know, the use of cannabis is something that helps people be well, certainly. But part of that is because when you recreate with cannabis, you get high and it relieves stress. And so we can't ignore the fact that we are recreating. We're getting high. We're having a good time. We're having fun. And to try to euphemize that, to try to come up with some fancy way of dressing it up, I think instinctually for the voter, they feel like, whoa, wait a minute. What are these guys trying to sell? What are they trying to pull here? Right? You know, obviously you're trying to get high. What are you trying to call this? Right? I worry more about being disingenuous with the public than being honest with what we want, even if it's more politically expedient to be disingenuous. Right?
I completely can get with that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, being politically disingenuous allows for us to continue to just nibble around the edges. You know what I mean? Being straight up with what we want allows us to be able to just do that. Say what we want, work for it.
And I'm tired of tiptoeing around the issue. Let's just stomp it out.
Yeah. We just want to be treated like cigarette smokers and beer drinkers. You know, just get maybe more like beer drinkers.
Yeah, a little less like cigarette smokers.
But we'll take this conversation into hour two at Toker Talk Radio, where you can get in. We had someone who was trying to call at the end of that Dr. Mitch segment that got in too late. But if you want to call in hour two, we'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. We'll be hanging out with Wiz Khalifa and Ganja John, Cannabis Carry, and I believe NorCal Perps is still out there. You guys still hanging out in the virtual room?
Yeah, I'm still here, Russ.
Right on.
Yep, we're still here.
All right, so we'll talk more about that subject. Plus, we've got some Brad Pitt news that we're going to talk about.
Awesome.
That'll be something to go over. And more on this, our video being inappropriate, and other news stories that fell through the cracks. So join us in hour two for Toker Talk Radio, where you can be the voice of the marijuana nation. Our live number again is 971-533-7111. Also, coming up later tonight on the Normal Network, after Toker Talk Radio, you get an episode of Free Weed! Free Weed!
Free Weed!
Free Weed! Free Weed. Danny Danko, Free Weed, High Times Free Weed, coming up at the 6 o'clock hour, then at 7 o'clock, a new episode of The Libra Lounge, where bitches got something to say. And she keeps saying that on that promo. It just makes me laugh. And then 8 o'clock, Ivory Island.
Hey.
Right here with Wiz Khalifa.
Come back.
And have a good time. So, join us on the Normal Network where it's 420, 24/7, 365. I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.